We have a special guest this morning. Ladies, you were blessed yesterday by Evangeline Gomez sharing the word at the Women's Christmas Brunch. Her husband Mike is going to be sharing this morning. Mike and I have known each other probably going on 15 years since he came out on a rescue mission to New Jersey to help turn around a ministry that was in trouble. That's sort of what Mike and Evangeline do. They help people turn around. Together, they oversee the U-Turn for Christ ministry under Calvary Albuquerque. He's going to share a little bit more about the ministry, but please join me in welcoming my dear friend and brother and co-laborer, Pastor Mike Gomez.
Thank you. Blessing to be here this morning, sharing with the first service, and hopefully you guys stick it out with me. I hope, you know, I don't bore you or anything like that. So if you do, I'm going to, you know, we're going to have some action in here. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to tackle anybody. I would never do that.
I would.
But it would just solely be out of love and competition. But honestly, had a great time here this weekend, just getting to know the town. Great city you guys have here. Great people. Everybody's so friendly. And thank you for having me out. Thank you to your pastor and all the believers and brothers and sisters we met. Love you guys and hope to continue to visit and see what the Lord does in your fellowship. God is doing a great work here. And I hope that continues to spread out to wherever God calls you to. If you don't know anything about what the U-Turn for Christ ministry is, it's a ministry that is set in place to help people who are stuck in the bondage and sin of addiction, drugs, alcohol, any life-dominating sin. It could be so many different things that people fall into that causes them to become stuck in a place that they're unable to be set free except by the power of Jesus. And that's what we do. It's a program, 2 to 8 months. People come to us, it's much the same as we feel kind of like foster parents for a couple of reasons. Children of God come to us and stay with us, and we disciple them and set them in a place where they can see and understand God, who He is, who Jesus is, and allow Him to work in their life. And so it's a really fun ministry for me because I love to see God. He's in the miracle business, and He is always up to something there, and He is everywhere. But I just get to see up in close and personal some things that look like train wrecks turn into just a beauty. Just awesome. And myself, I'm a graduate. 16, going to be 17 years here in the near future that I came to U-Turn for Christ. And I was the one that needed help. I was stuck, lost, and separated from God, and I was a hard case too. Now everybody thinks they're a hard case, but I was a hard case. So my mom will tell you. I ended up in a detox center, and I didn't want to call her, but I ended up calling her because I was ashamed of what I've done and how I had lived my life. And but you know, she was a kind woman. She's like this big, so I feared her though greatly. She was a prayer warrior. She didn't let me be comfortable in my sin, and she was open to helping me. So I asked her for help, and I said, "Can you find something for me? I don't know what to do. I'm lost. I have no idea what to do with my life." And she came back. I called her from that place, and then she called me back, said, "You can do it your way, or you can do it God's way." And that was that was something that really struck my heart. And I knew that my way had got me there to that point. That's the best my way could have done. And I want to encourage you guys, if you know anybody or you yourself need help, there's nobody too far gone and nobody that's sinned too bad, nobody that's too bad and unredeemable that God can't save. He's sufficient. He's sufficient to be able to do that work. Man isn't, but he is. And he has heavenly resources, and he has people who are full of the Spirit of God who can help you through this time. And that's what we do. And I love it. It's hard. It's difficult. It's beautiful. It's disastrous. It's everything. And I love it. And I love being in the middle of it. And that's what we do. We have anywhere between 20 to 30 people, men, women, or sometimes women with children will take. So it's really cool to watch God work, that miracle work in their life. This morning I was blessed to be able to share from Hebrews chapter 12 on renewing our walk with Jesus. So I'm going to have you guys turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And the title of the message is Renewing Our Walk with Jesus. It's not just for new believers or mature believers. It's for everybody, because we need to be reminded that Jesus wants to walk with us today like he did yesterday. And problems arise in life, even if you're walking with the Lord. Trials happen, pain happens, confusion can close in on a believer. We're going to take communion later, and this is going to be a nice time of examining your walk. And when I say nice, I mean it's a good time. Not like you're going to have a good time, but you're going to have some time that will turn out for your good. How about that? And a time of examination, confession to the Lord. Ask God, peer inside of me, show me if there's anything that I need to strengthen. We're going to talk about strengthening, and we're going to talk about pursuing, and we're going to talk about looking carefully, so that way you can leave here today with strength from God. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 through 17 is where we're going to be. I'm going to go ahead and read those verses. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So quickly, you can look at that verse there, verse 12, and realize it's a transitional verse. That means the therefore is therefore. What do you ask? It's therefore, right? It's the whole prior verses in chapter 12, speaking on discipline and chastening of the Lord. And you believers sometimes don't understand, why is this happening to me? Because God loves us too much to leave us the way we are. He brings discipline and chastening into our life, and he brings the ability to endure through that chastening and that discipline. And it's not because he doesn't love us. It's because he does. And so take that for what it's worth. If you are feeling chastened or disciplined by the Lord, know that it's because of his love, but it's therefore that it brings us to this verse 12, where he says that strengthening and healing will happen, and that's my first point. Strengthening and healing will happen when we stop being the problem. So be ready by preparing. There's a whole time of preparation that needs to happen in a believer's life because of those reasons I've already said that can come upon you: trials, confusion, pain, some sort of affliction. Perhaps some people are even suffering. I understand people from the fellowship are suffering from sickness, COVID. And we lifted them up, and we'll pray for them again. Indeed, many from our fellowship have suffered the same afflictions and have gone through the same. I've went through it, and it was not fun, not fun at all. But I thank God for the fellowship that we have with our Lord and the body together, lifting each other up. But be strengthened and be healed. So he's talking about a spiritual problem here. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. So we have a reference to the Old Testament verses in Isaiah 35, and it says the same things. I'll read them in a second. But they're mentioned to strengthen the things which are weak and possibly harmful in our relationships. So things that are weak and harmful in our relationships with two sets of people, two groups: Jesus and with others. Prioritize Jesus in this, and everything will balance out. Strengthen and heal your relationship with Jesus by examining yourself. Okay, in Isaiah 35, 3 through 6, it adds a little bit more. And verse 3 says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for the waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. In the book of John, Jesus says, rivers of living water will flow forth. Right? That's for me and you. Rivers of living water flow forth from where? They'll well up inside of you. Right? Jesus wants to flow in your life like a river. Picture a nice, refreshing river. We go to the different streams and rivers in New Mexico. We don't have tons and tons of water. There's high desert, and then there's mountains like the Rockies and stuff. But you go way up into those mountains and you find nice clear streams of water, and you can drink out of them, no problem. They're really nice, really refreshing, especially in a hot day. And man, I just look at the life that surrounds them. Look at the life of a believer who is filled with the Spirit of God. That's what we want. We want that, right? We want vitality, renewal in our life, revitalization. Perhaps you're feeling that you need this in your life. I feel kind of empty or dead, or we come to the winter months and things start to turn kind of gloomy. The leaves fall. Things aren't as bright. Depression settles in. Stuff like that can happen in life. God wants to strengthen and heal through a relationship with Him. Some things that he's pointing out here, though, back in verse 12, is before that, we got to deal with things. We got to clear out obstacles. We got to do the work so that way we can run. So I get this sense here that he's setting us up for an illustration of running through a path. Running through a path, maybe a mountain path, maybe a desert path. You got to trek through a wilderness. Life is often compared to a wilderness. Would you guys say? We're kind of going through this wilderness. We find little spots of safety, and then we end up in danger, and we're finding that we need safety so often in life. And to clear a path is to make a safe path. obstacles that bring us down, cause chastening, like he was talking about in the prior verses, chapter 12 of Hebrews. These are obstacles that bring us down because they're sinful. So if there's something in your mind and your life that is coming up, and the Lord may be revealing and showing to you right now, and if you ask him, he will. He'll show you. Say, God, what is it that you might want me to deal with this morning? For me, there's things that I don't like to do, like take out the trash. Like, you know, especially late at night. I know the trash man is coming in the morning. Like, oh man, I don't want to do that. I'll just do it early in the morning. You put it off. And then morning comes and it's too cold out there. Then, you know what? The trash can wait till next week. And then you know, it starts to build up, right? There are things like that in life that can start to build up as well. And it's probably, if we really look at it, it's probably a lot more than we realize. There can be a buildup. And so God wants to break that cycle of unbroken sin. It's an unbroken cycle. There's a cycle. It starts with a compromise, rationalize, and just keeps going like this. And until we make changes, until we strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees and clear the pathways, that cycle keeps going. And this is, it's about repenting. When things start to build up, things start to come in, we start to deal with it. And that's just the truth, right? We need to do it. And we are exhorted here to do it. And, oh man, where do we get strength? When you're tired or at the end of the day and you don't want to take out the trash, where do you get strength from? Well, part of it is we know that there's going to be consequences, right? There's going to be that buildup. There's going to be stink and just more to deal with. It's not going to go away. Somebody has to deal with it. But we miss out on the fact that oftentimes we're instructed in the Word of God. It tells us that not only will we get consequences, but it tells us where to get strength. It tells us how to fix the path, how to strengthen the areas of your life so that we can break the cycle, so that we can know what's good and what's not good, so that we can walk with God unobstructed. And so it's just about being ready, making that a part of our life, being ready to deal with things as soon as they come, quick to repent, quick to confess. First things first, we must come to Jesus if we're going to walk with him, right? Hey, you can't walk with Jesus if you don't know him. Hey, you go and talk to a stranger. Can I walk with you? Like, no, you can't. But Jesus says, yeah, get to know me. Walk and talk, right? Be ready because he'll invite you. You receive the invitation already on the cross. And we've already seen him work a lot of miracles in our life. How about you guys? Can you say, God is good? Yeah. He's already been working miracles in our life, and he's faithful. He'll continue to do it. There's a lot of illustrations about brokenness, about crooked things in life that I could come up with, but I wanted to show an illustration about how Jesus strengthened and healed literally a life bound by sin, a life bound by Satan. And it's in Luke 13:10. Now he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues of the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." There's just two things. Yeah, the woman was bent over, crooked. Two things to notice there, and we'll move on. woman, she couldn't help herself. There was no way she could have straightened her body out. Her life couldn't be fixed by her own hand. The second thing is, nobody else could help her either. Only Jesus could help her. There are things like that in life that you can't help yourself, and only Jesus can. And that is obviously pointing towards salvation. We can't save ourselves. We can't do enough good. And we don't know if we deserve it or not. We know we have all these thoughts. But oftentimes, I'm going to mention this because we try to fix ourselves before coming to Jesus. So I don't know if Jesus is going to accept me. But Jesus is the way to get fixed. We often forget the fact that Jesus is enough. We start to say, Jesus and Jesus with this or that. He can fix you. But that brokenness is what brings you to Him. And so that renewal, maybe holidays are hard. Maybe you lost a loved one. And I know when you lose a loved one, the families can change. Things can happen. To renew a walk with Jesus, whether you've known Him 20 years or don't know Him at all, we always have to come to Him the same way. In humbleness. He will revitalize it. He will renew. But we got to give Him the glory and the praise. And that's what she did. He straightened her out, straightened her life out, opened her eyes, healed her, and she gave glory to God. So if we're going to do this, if we're going to clear out these things, these obstructions in our life, He will do it. He will revitalize and He will renew. Give Him the glory. And we'll always come to Him the same way. The same way when you first called out on Jesus, is the same way you need Him now. I say that to Him all the time. I need you more than I needed you. I need you every day. I realize how much I'm so dependent on you. I can't really do anything good without you. That's what it's like to walk with the Lord. And it's great. There's nothing bad with the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. Because our final destination is in heaven. We'll fully be as He wants us to be. Second point here is, you're either in pursuit or in danger of a bitter root. That's verses 14 and 15 back in Hebrews 12. Two things here to pursue are peace and holiness. We know peace and holiness only come through Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, though, we kind of mistake peace. I can't speak for everybody, but I've seen this happen. We mistake peace for a lack of trouble. Things aren't so bad, so I have peace. But we're not going anywhere with the Lord. We're not really walking with Him. Just become complacent, lax. And that, I can tell you, is a very dangerous place to be. Complacency is a killer. It lulls you into a place of not being attentive, not being aware, just relaxing and not getting dangerous with your faith. And what I mean by dangerous is taking new steps of faith, venturing out into uncharted waters. That's where we continue to grow. Saying, I'm good, everything is good. I'll tell people who call us and are seeking help, you know, while their parents or people are seeking help for them. And then let me talk to the person, because we like to talk to the person. How's it going? Everything's good. Really? But maybe you do that too. Just think about it for a little bit. How's everything going? Good. a discerning person will know it isn't always good. He gives to pursue peace. It doesn't mean we always have peace, but to pursue it, because trouble happens. But we can't have the peace of God until we have peace with God. That's why we have to come to Jesus first. And he actually gives us another goal. If we have peace then we with him, then we need to pursue peace with all people. How do you pursue peace with all people? Especially if people are difficult. People can be difficult. I can be difficult. Ask my wife. She's right there. Ask Patrick. He's my overseeing pastor for you know, some years there. And we can be stubborn, right? We can be, we want our own way. We have trust issues. How many of you guys say, well, we can have trust issues? And that leads us to a place where bitterness can set in. Bitterness is described here in these verses as a defiling and cancerous attitude that corrupts. Bitterness is often overlooked. Sometimes we don't realize we have bitterness, and it's maybe classified under a white-collar sin. It's not looked at as much as other sins. Bitterness, well, that person did that to me, so that's all right to feel like that. But, you know, bitterness can corrupt your walk. And that's a real danger for believers. It's defiling and cancerous. It eats away at you. Root of bitterness has its problem at the foundations, at the root level, at the level that is inside. Something happened to you. Our Saturday evening men's class that we have, it's a 33-week course, and it deals with a lot of issues. One of them is an issue called the father wound. It's just another way to say a root of bitterness. But because the issues with the father or lack of a father, or sometimes it's a lack of a mother, these roots of bitterness are set in, and they've retained this attitude, and it's bitterness. It's cancerous. It's eating away. And those are the things that we bring to the Lord if we're new creations. Old things have passed away, but sometimes we're not informed of that. Sometimes we don't realize that that truly is the old person, that it's dead. And so to pull up those roots is quite an ordeal. It's life-changing, life-transforming, and it's necessary, and it's freeing. So the issue here with the root of bitterness is not about what happened, but it's how to live free from bitterness. And the way to live free is by grace, by just accepting that God has given a whole new life, that your old life is dead, and that you have a whole new life. We have memories, lingering memories from the past. If you're born again, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, everything is new. But we still have lingering memories, and those somehow carry along and harm us. And it's only through grace, through living by grace, that we're able to move forward and realize I'm ready to be all that Jesus wants me to be. And it's a readiness to live like that every day. So every day you got to pick up your cross, right? And follow him. Every day, die to ourselves. And he says to pursue peace this way, looking carefully, because if you're not careful, this tends to try to take over again. Got to be tending that garden, pulling up those roots of bitterness. That happens, and I know that happens in churches. I know I visit all kinds of different places, and man, what a useful message for the health of the church. It's not an easy message, though. And he says to pursue peace and holiness, to pursue peace with all men and holiness with God. And holiness is given to us through the Holy Spirit. He makes us holy. He sets us apart. But this is all the life of living by grace. We no longer get to blame our past or use our past as an excuse, because we belong to God now. He holds our future and has given us what we need to be free. The past is dead. He's forgiven us of our sins. The debt is paid. And we must forgive and look forward. Back to that race. You can't win a race if you're looking backwards. You have to look forward to where you're going in order to win. To win the race. And we are in a race. It's not about who gets there first. It's about who gets there. We don't get there on our own. There's a danger of refusing grace. There's a danger of saying, I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it my way. Remember where my way got me? Your way will get you there too. It's better to do it God's way, don't you think? I'm sure of it. He gives us a story. And that's the third point. Don't refuse his grace. He gives us a story from Esau. Esau is given it as an example. He's the son who sold out his birthright willingly. In verse 16, it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. None of us want to be Esau, do we? Of course not. But an attitude like Esau can still happen, can still exist. And that's why the warning is given there, that Esau sold out his inheritance at a cheap price. He traded the eternal for what's temporary. His values were not eternal. He did not value the things of God. He didn't value a life with God. He only valued the things that he could see with his eyes and that would feed his flesh. Esau wanted the blessings of God, but he didn't want the blessing of God. It's a result of a refusal to live by grace. To live with God daily means to choose him over us. When we know that somebody has hurt us and it's about us, so, well, is it possible to surrender that pain over to the Lord? And then tomorrow it comes back and then you surrender it again? It is possible. Healing and strengthening will happen when we deal with those issues, when we take courage. So that's something that we need a lot of nowadays, right? Courage. Courage isn't just found on a battlefield. Courage is found in the home. Courage is found in fathers and in mothers speaking to their children about the things of God. Because we get a little afraid. Is this going to turn them away from God? No. We need to inform them and take courage, because God has promised us this is his way. To live by grace is his way. And to refuse to live by grace, that could be any of our children's choice. That could be our choice. But every day I got to wake up and walk with Jesus. I got to renew my walk today. What was good for yesterday it's gone. I need to walk with Jesus again today. Good morning, Lord. I'm here reporting for duty. What do you want from me today? Where do you want to go? How do you want to use me? Not just getting ready, staying ready all day. Don't fall asleep at your post, right? Man, I get tired sometimes. I get so tired. I just like, you know what? I quit sometimes like 10 times during the week. Some of you guys might know what that's like. That's it. I'm done. And then God shows up and just kind of gives you a little wink. That you're like, I'm done with me. I give up. He's way better. He's always shows up right on time. Do the work to clear the paths that God wants you to walk on. There's only two paths, right? The path of discipleship that we are walking if you're a believer, and the path that leads to Christ. Those are the only two paths that we know of. There's people who are not walking with God who need to come to Jesus, and people who are walking with Jesus and they need to grow in Jesus. But to clear the paths is to do the work to grow, to examine yourself daily. Esau is an example of a person who has no heart for God. God bless you. He had no determination, no endurance. He just gave up right away. That's one thing. If there's anything, I call it being, I call it just persevering. But it's called endurance. You know, that discipline, that chastening we're talking about, that endurance is what is needed and is built up through those trials that you persevere through. And if God got me through that one, he can get me through anything. If God gets us through this, he can get them through that. God doesn't love me more than he loves you. Yeah, I had a testimony that's just like God had to do some stuff. He had to pull some strings, I guess. I don't know how he did it. But I realized he doesn't love me any more than he loves anybody else. He loves everybody to the max right now. He's never going to love you any more or any less. He gave it all. Everything belongs to his sons and daughters. Everything. We have a great inheritance that has been given to us. But the need to persevere through pain, it's a great need. You can endure through sufferings. You don't have to be like Esau. Hebrews 10 speaks about this earlier. Earlier in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10:35, it says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Esau. "We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." The challenge is to be careful not to cast aside your confidence for a mere earthly morsel, and to let the grace of God inform your soul. And that's where I said, when I wrote this, how great is our God? Because that's all I could think of. I'm not giving up anything because I know what he delivered me from, and I know what he can do for anybody who will humble themselves and call. And daily, for a non-believer who calls out upon him and a believer who calls out upon him in the midst of a trial, a storm, he'll save you the same way. We're going to do communion. We're thinking about this, things that, is there any bitterness that I'm carrying around? Is there anything that I have unforgiveness for? Sure, it's a challenging thing to say. Not really for me. I don't know anybody here. Like, I barely know some. I know Patrick. But it could be challenging, but this is what brings health. This is what brings vitality when we're able to deal with things that are painful. And I can sit here and say, I don't know what's going on in your life, but God does, and He wants to bring healing and strength to your life if you'll come to Him this way. And communion is a wonderful time to just surrender everything. It's an opportunity to say, this all belongs to You now, Lord. I'm surrendering that. I'm going to call the worship team up and the communion team to come in and distribute the elements. And so what I did last service was not really traditional. It's kind of more personal. As you get the elements, and I'm gonna read the scripture, just to read the scripture to remind us why we do this. But take self-examination, pray, and at your own time, when you're ready, you take the elements yourself as a personal time of communion. As the worship team is singing, whatever time you choose, because it's going to be an agreement to come under the covenant, to remind yourself of the covenant, of the blood of Jesus, right? The body that was beaten, that traded places for us, the blood that was shed for us. And you say, Jesus is still enough. And when you come to that point, you just take that time and say thank you to Him, and you take the cup yourself. It's a personal relationship we have with Jesus. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you can. If you think, I don't know if He loves me, He does. This is for you. If you would call out upon Him, if you ask Jesus to save you, He will. The cross is a picture of punishment that was supposed to be for us. And He traded places. He took the place of a sinner. That's me. I don't know about you, but I'm a sinner. And He traded places for me. And there's no way I could ever repay Him, but just to say thank you. And that's what communion is. Saying thank you for doing that for me. I remember what You did. And so 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I received from the Lord, thank you, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Now take that time as the worship team is singing to say thanks, to draw near to His presence, to ask Him to take anything out of your heart that you're having a hard time with. Just ask Him to cleanse you. And then receive that grace. Just surrender. What a beautiful time it'll be. We'll walk out of here with His presence and His fullness.